Part 7, Chapter 1. The first trouble came from Turl. He had a hangover after his solo binge, and he had been irritated close to anger at the comings and goings and delays. At first light, Johnny began to load them as they arrived singly and in groups from their errands to their homes. The people in the meadow had not left, but had slept on the ground around fires. No one was going to miss the departure. More Scots, having missed the gathering of the clans due to distance or infirmity, had come in, and the number had doubled. Johnny began showing them how to tie down their gear in the military supply locks of the personnel freighter and how to fasten themselves into the seats, two to a seat, and adjust the belts. He had gotten about six fully settled when two of them promptly got out of their seats again and started showing newcomers where to stow their gear and how to handle the belts. Some apologized for seeming to bring so little. But times had been hard, they said. It was no longer safe to raid in the lowlands. Some thought perhaps they were bringing too much, but one never knew, did one? Some were a bit late and streamed in a breathless rush, the historian worriedly checking off their names. The old women came in a clatter of kettles. The parson arrived, rolling a keg, in case someone became ill. Johnny strapped it down tightly, curious. He had never seen whiskey before. The sun was getting higher. Turl roared from the cab.
Get these filthy animals loaded!
People became very quiet. Johnny winked at them, and they relaxed and got loading going once more. Finally, they were all there. All 83 of them. Johnny said,
This flight will take several hours. We will go very high. It will be very cold, and the air will be thin. Endure it somehow. If you feel lightheaded, it will be from lack of air, so make an effort to breathe more often. Keep yourselves tightly strapped in. This plane can turn in all directions and even upside down. I'm now going to the forward cab to help fly this thing. Remember that one day soon, many of you will also be able to fly machines, so observe things closely. Robert the Fox is in charge here. Questions?
There wasn't one. He had made them more confident in their new environment. They seemed cheerful, not afraid.
Take it up, McTyler,
said Robert the Fox. Johnny waved at the crowd out of the side door, and they roared back. He slammed and locked the door. He settled himself in the co-pilot seat, wound the security belt around himself twice, put on his air mask, and got out the map. Turl was looking sourly at the crowd. With vicious, sudden gestures, Turl recompressed the cab with breathe gas and ripped off his mask. And Johnny saw his amber eyes were shot with green. Turl had been going heavy on the Kerbango. There was an evil twist to his mouth bones. He was rumbling something about late and having no leverage on these blasted animals and teach a lesson. Johnny stiffened in alarm. The plane vaulted skyward at a speed enough to crush him into his seat. It was at 3,000 feet in the wink of an eye. Johnny's map and hands were pressed painfully downward into the co-pilot control panel. Turl's talons snapped at some more buttons. The ship started over on its side.
What are you doing?
Shouted Johnny.
I'm gonna set an example,
roared Turl.
We've got to show them what will happen if they disobey.
The thick mob in the meadow was a small dot below them as the plane turned downward. Suddenly, Johnny knew that Turl was going to blast them. The ground came screaming up, the crowd getting large.
No!
Screamed Johnny. Turl's talons were reaching out for the fire buttons. Johnny heaved the map. Open, it pinned itself against Turl's face, cutting off his vision. The ground was coming up with speed. Johnny hit his own controls with staccato fingers. 200 feet up, the plane abruptly changed course to level. Its inertia sucked it down to only yards above the crowd's heads. Like a javelin, it shot forward. Ahead of them, the trees leaping larger, was the mountainside. Johnny's fingers stabbed keys. Branches hit the underbody. The plane rocketed up the mountainside only feet from the ground. It shot into the clear as they passed the mountain crest. Johnny leveled it and stabbed it at the distant beaches. He reversed the tape that had taken them on the incoming voyage and fed it into the autopilot. The sea sped by only yards below them. They were in the clear, undetectable by any mine site observation post, heading for home. Johnny, bathed in sweat, sat back. He looked at Turl. The monster had gotten the map off his face. Flames were flickering in his green shot eyes.
You almost killed us!
You would have spoiled everything!
I've got no leverage on these animals!
Snapped Turl. He looked over his shoulder to beyond the cab rear wall.
How?
He added with nasty sarcasm.
Do you intend to keep them obedient? With little baby toys?
They've been obedient enough so far, haven't they?
You ruined this whole trip for me,
said Turl. He relapsed into moody silence. At length, he rubbed at his aching head and fumbled around for his kerbango. He brought up an empty container and threw it down. Johnny clipped it into a rack so it wouldn't go adrift. Turl found another one under the seat. He chewed off a slug of it and sat there gloomily.
Why?
Asked Turl at length.
Were they cheering yesterday?
I told them the end of the project would see them highly paid,
said Johnny. Turl thought that over. Then...
They were cheering because of pay?
More or less.
Turl was suspicious.
You didn't promise any gold, did you?
No, they don't know anything about gold. Their currency is horses and such things.
High pay,
said Turl. He was suddenly very jovial. The kerbango was taking effect. He had just had a wonderful thought. High pay. He knew exactly the pay they would get. Exactly. At the muzzle end of a blast gun. He cheered up enormously.
You fly this thing pretty good, Rat Brain. When you're not trying to kill everybody.
This struck Turl as very, very funny. And he laughed from time to time all the way home. But that was not what pleased him. How stupid these animals were. High pay, indeed. No wonder they'd lost the planet. He had his leverage. He'd never heard such enthusiasm.